There's a little bit of a story to this shir. The shir is really the result of Evelyn, whom you've heard so much about already, and it was given the first time. It must have been, was it 10 years ago, 12 years ago? The inspiration came then, and I've worked on it over the years, and I'm going to share the ideas with you now. Evelyn cornered me about, I don't know how many, 10, 12 years ago, and she was running a program, a Kever Rochel program, at the old Israel Center. Strauss, you remember? On number 10 Strauss, on a Moitzoy Shabbos. And you know, I'm a softy, and I agreed, even if you're not a softy, it's difficult to refuse her. She doesn't give up. I have a feeling, in a sense, she has that part of Rachel in her who refuses to be consoled and doesn't take no for an answer. That's really the strength of Rachel. So here it is, this Moitzoy Shabbos. I'm supposed to speak there. Had an extremely heavy Shabbos in shul. I don't know, two ofer of three bar mitzvahs. I don't know what else is going on. A few shiurim. That night I also had to speak in Har Nof at the 70th birthday for somebody. And I had to make it to the airport at 1 o'clock in the morning for a flight. Shtel zich for what I had to do that night. So I didn't have any time really to prepare a great speech for Evelyn, and here, I'm all shook up. My wife tells me, "You're not driving to the Israel Center." She told my son, "Yirmi, you're going to take care of him, get him there." And we leave Har Nof. On my way out of Har Nof, I don't have a speech. I'm going to come in there. This is going to be the end. Curtains. What will Evelyn do with me? Anyway, as we're passing the Binyanei HaUma on the way to the Israel Center, I get some sign, sort of a message coming from heaven. By the time we get our way up Agrippus, it's beginning to take shape and form. We get to Strauss, and I need another minute, and thank God there's a red light. And then light changes, pull in, a left. You made a left, pull in front of the Israel Center. Those are the days that you were able to, you remember the time that you were able to park on Strauss. To park in the city, what do you thought? And this is what I said. You heard already from Chaim, the great Sukkim. They're so powerful. There you have it in number one. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, a voice is heard on high. Kol v'romo nishma. Nehi b'chi tamdurim. Wailing, bitter weeping. Who's weeping? Rachel nevaka al boneha. Rachel cries for her children. Me analihi nachem, she refuses to be consoled, al boneha, about her children, to einenu, who are not there. She refuses. And because of her refusal comes the great promise. Kolamar Hashem, so says God, mini kolev mibechi, withhold, restrain your voice from weeping, ve'inayich midima, and your eyes from tears. Ki yesh soch olifulateich, for there is reward for your accomplishment. Ne'um Hashem, so says God, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, a promise is made to Rachel. The promise we will see was not made to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu. The promise is made to Rachel. Jews will return from the land of the enemy. V'yesh tikva la'acharitech, and there is hope for your end. Nu'um Hashem, v'shavu banim l'gulam, the sons will return to their boundaries. What a promise. I have a feeling sometimes that we're not fully cognizant of the fact, and I tell this at times to students, I don't need any sophisticated proofs that Torah is true, that Moshe emes v'torato emes. I don't need proofs of God's existence. There are 5.5 million Jews in Eretz Israel today. You know why? Because of the promise that God made to Mama Rachel. It's as plain and as simple, as profound, as powerful as that. Because of these words, 5.5 million Jews with many others on the way. And I have a feeling God was being very honest with Rachel. First he told her, "V'shavu me'eretz oyev," those who will return because they must get here, coming from the land of the enemy, they're going to come first. The bonim who come from the lands of the West where the living is easy will come a little bit later, but they're going to come nevertheless. The famous Medrash in Eicha tells us that before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov all stood up before God and they pleaded and begged and prayed, and we'll see more about that. God remains immovable until Rachel. And the Medrash explains why, because Rachel is purported to have told God that, listen, take a look, you're concerned that your children may not have been so faithful to you. Take a look at what I gave up. I gave up what no woman in history gave up. Here it is, I'm supposed to be going to the Kufa with Yaakov. But no, my father is sending my sister. So what am I going to do? I'm going to let her be embarrassed and shamed. I can't do that. I gave away the greatest day in my life. I gave it all over. So, Chomeini Shalom, take it easy. If your people Israel are not that good, you can be forgiving. You can do that. And to her he responds. But that's not what occurred to me that night on the way from Binyanei HaUmah to the Israel Center. I believe that Rachel's uniqueness comes from a different source, and it's all related to one of the most difficult dialogues that takes place in Tanakh. Number two, by Tere Rachel Kilo Yolda, Rachel saw that she had not given birth to Yaakov. Vatakane Rachel Ba'achota, Rachel was jealous of her sister. Vatomer El Yaakov, listen to what she says, listen to how Yaakov responds. She says to Yaakov, Havali bonin, give me children, v'im ayin enat, and it's not meso nochi, I'm dead. Give me children. An absolutely irrational cry coming from the depths of Rachel's pain. Vayichar af Yaakov v'Rachel. This is most probably infinitely far more difficult to understand. Yaakov gets angry with Rachel and he says, Hatachat Elokim Anochi? Am I in place of God? I mean, I give children? I'm the one? Asher monam mimeich pri baten, the God that withheld from you the fruit of the womb, am I that one? Well, I think our rabbis reacted to this in the precise way that one has to react. I quote here the Mesilat Yesharim in number 3. It's brought by the Ramban in Chumash. It's a Medrash. The Mesilat Yesharim is talking about the fact that God is very, very exacting with those who are close to Him. Even for the slightest infraction, they must pay. Yaakov, al shechora apa b'rochel, Yaakov, because he got angry with Rachel, she'omrolo, who said to him, Havol ibonin, give me children. Omru b'medrish. The Medrash said, Zelish shonam, this is what the rabbi said in the Medrash. Omru HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, remember these 4 words. God reprimands Yaakov and he says, Kach onim et hamu'ukos, is this how you answer a woman who's in pain? This how you answer her? You get angry with her? She doesn't have to be rational. Rachel is talking from the depths of her pain. She doesn't really mean, you give me children. This is how you answer her? Am I in the place of God who withheld from you children? What a terrible thing, Yaakov. How can you do it? Kach onin et amarukos? Most probably Yaakov should have said, Rachel, another capital tillim. Let's pray again. Let's go ask for a bracha for Yitzchak. Let's do something. Kach onin es ha'mukos. This is how you respond to a woman in pain. Ma'uk. feel the terrible, terrible emotional pressure. Chayecho, God says, I swear, Shebonecho Omdim Lifnei Beno, your children are going to stand before her son, Yosef, trembling before Yosef. All right, that's enough. We don't need the rest of the... the rest will take us off on another tangent. You have no idea what these four words of God meant. Kach onin etam ukos. Is this how you answer a woman in pain? I'm taking you to the scene, Erev Tisha B'Av. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov are in heaven. Avram prays, the Bnei Shalom, Jews are going off into exile. No response. Yitzhak, Yaakov, everybody, Moshe, Aaron, and then Rachel. Make believe you're Yaakov. We're standing there, and Rachel is asking God, what is she asking? Give me my children. What's God going to say to her? Is God going to say to her, well, you know, they've been bad. Do you know what Yaakov, God can already see it on Yaakov's lips. This woman Rachel is asking for her children. What are you going to say to her? Remember, Kach Onin Es Hamaukos? Is this the way you answer a woman who's in deep pain? She doesn't have to be rational. On the day of the Churban, when Rachel Imenu prays before God, he has no choice. He has no choice. You know what he must say? You want your children? I promise you, you're going to get them. Because there's no other answer that God can give her. Any other answer, he would know that he has to answer to a Yaakov, who he told many years earlier, Kach Onines Amarukas, a mama who's in pain, or do you have to be careful how you talk to them? I think the scenario is correct, except for one little problem. The little problem is, if God has condemned Yaakov and told him, Kach onin etam ukot, God has the responsibility of teaching Yaakov how do you respond to a Yiddish mama who's in pain. You didn't respond correctly. You don't get angry. How do you respond? So I want to tell you that whole scene that I described taking place in heaven on the day of the Churban was planned. It was all planned in advance. Yaakov Avinu knew exactly how God was going to respond. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And there it is. Number four. Yaakov, toward the end of his life, asks of Yosef, don't bury me in Egypt. Take me to Eretz Canaan and bury me there. And then as he makes this request of Yosef, he understands that he owes him an answer to a question that has troubled Yosef, his most beloved son, all of his life. Vani bevoi mi padon. Yaakov tells Yosef, I, when I came from Padan Aram, meita alai Rachel be'eretz Canaan. Rachel died in Eretz Canaan. Ba'od kivrat eretz lavo efrata. Was just another piece of road to get to Efrat. I buried her there. We can say here, he buried her here, Baderach. The way to Efrat, he beit lachem. The great Rashi. I know it's true. I say about every Rashi that it's a great Rashi, and it's true. Every Rashi is a great Rashi, but some Rashis are greater than all. And here it is. Vami bevoi mi padam. But as for me, when I came from Padan, even though I am troubling you, I'm begging of you that you should take me and bury me in the land of Canaan. The lo kapa sifi li'imcha didn't do that for your mother. Shadei meita samach le'bet lechem, because she died near Beit Lechem. Kivrat eretz, Rashi says, midat eretz, a measure of land. Kimidat tchum shabbos, 2,000 amah. Kedivrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshim, according to the words of Moshe Hadarshim, with these words, Jacob continues his apology to Joseph and says, "V'lo tomar, don't think that the reason why I buried her here and didn't take her to the Ma'arat HaMakpela was she'ikvalai bishamin, that it was the rainy part of the year and it was difficult to go. We know when Rachel Imenu died; it was Yud Aleph Cheshvan. That's before the rainy season. Yud Aleph, yes, Yud Aleph Cheshvan, right? I got it right." After Tishrei comes Cheshvan, yes. So it couldn't have been the rain that stopped me, lahulicha ulakavra b'chevron, to bury her in Chevron. Eit hagarid haya. It was the dry season. Sheharetz chalula umenukevet tikvara. When the land has hollows and holes like a sleeve. V'ekbereha shaman, I buried her there where she died. V'lohalakti afilu lebeit lechem. I didn't even take her into Beit Lechem. Lach nisala aretz, to bring her further into the land. And here comes a painful thing. V'yodati sheyesh belidcha alai. I knew that you held it against me. In your heart you held it against me. Do you understand? Here was a near perfect, powerful relationship between a father and a son. And the father knows, as they learn together, whatever they do together, he knows that the son, in the back of his mind, has quite a complaint to his father, that he didn't bury his mother where he should have buried her. I knew that you held it against me. I want you to know, Yosef, shall pi hadibur kvarti hasham, I buried her there because God told me to bury her there. Why did God tell me to bury her there? Shetehe le'ezra levaneha, so that she should be of aid to her children. Kishiyakla osam Nebuzaradin, when Nebuzaradin, the commander-in-chief of the forces of Babylon, is going to exile them, v'ayu ovrim deretzam, and they would pass by over here. Yotzeis Rachel al kivra, Rachel goes out above her grave, uvochen cries, umevakeshes alei harachamim, and she's going to ask for mercy. Shenemar kol v'roma nishmanihi b'chi tamrudim. Vakodesh Baruch Hu meshiva. You know what the Rebbe Nishon is telling Yaakov yet during his lifetime? Do you know how I am going to answer Rachel when she's going to say to me, Havoli banim v'imayin meisanoki, give me my children, and if not, I'm dead? You know what I'm going to tell her? I'm going to tell her, Rachala v'shavu banim l'gvulam v'shavu me'eretz oyev. God is already teaching Yaakov in his lifetime how you're supposed to respond to a Yiddish mama who pleads, Havoli banim, give me children. V'akodesh Baruch Hu meshiva, yesh sakol, God responds, yesh sakol ufu v'teichnum Hashem v'shavu banim l'gvulam. So when this scene takes place up in heaven, the only one who knows how it's going to end in advance is Yaakov. He knows, this is it. Rachel is now beginning to plead before God. He's lost. The Rebbe Nishim has had it. There is no way. There is no way that he will be able to respond in any way but the most positive to the cry of Rachel, Havoli banim, give me children. I also wondered always, there was something that was missing in the relationship between Yaakov and Yosef, and Yosef was his most beloved son, the one for whom he made the Ketanes Tassin, and Yaakov knows that there is something in this relationship that's lacking. He knows exactly why Yosef, and about what Yosef is troubled. Why doesn't he tell him earlier? Why does he wait now? So I'll tell you, it's very simple. Why does Yaakov Avinu have to tell Yosef that there's going to be a churban and his children are going to go into exile? that he has to tell him, and he should carry it around for the rest of his life, it's bad enough that Yaakov has to carry it. The last moment, as he is coming toward the end of his life, when he must say it, only at that moment does he say it. One more little medrash. And this is a medrash, I must say, this is a medrash that has haunted me. And there's a little story to this medrash too. Kishacharat Beis HaMikdash Hoyo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bochev Omer, as the Beit HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, God cried and he said, Bonai Heichan Atem, where are my sons? Kohanai Heichan Atem, where are my priests? Oh Havai, those who love me, where are they? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYirmiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyahu, what a metaphor God is going to use. He tells Yirmiyahu how he feels today on the day of the Korban. He says, Ani domeh hayom, today I'm like a man, shehad yolo ben yechidi, had a single one and only son, v'osu lo chupen, it's the day of the chasana, who made the tov chupato, and the son dies at the chupa. Can there conceivably be a more powerful tragedy than that? This is what the Rebbeinu says, this is how I feel. So he says, Lechu krol Avram liYitzchak liYaakov uMoshe mikivneihem. Go call all the avos, call the patriarchs out of their graves and Moshe. Shehem yodim lifkod. They know how to cry. Miyad holach Yirmiyahu lemaras haMachpelah. Immediately Yirmiyahu went to the Ma'arah and he said to the fathers of the world, the patriarchs, Imdu, stand. Rise, the time has come that you are being summoned before the Holy One, blessed be He. Listen to the end of this medrash. Amar lo, they said to him, Lama, why are we being summoned? Amar lehem, Yirmiyahu said, Eini yodea, I don't know. But he does know. What's happened here? What has Yirmiyahu said? Yirmiyahu is not saying the truth. But the Medrash explains. Mipnei shehayam mityarei, he was afraid. Shelo yomru lo. What would he tell him? Churban HaBayit is coming. Do you know what he was terrified of? He was terrified that the others would turn to him and would say to him, Biyomecha hayta lebaneinu zot. This happened to our children in your days? This is what happened? I'll tell you the little story. It was with a prime minister of the state of Israel, who before a journey to the United States was invited to the sukkah of Rav Avram Shapiro. And Rav Avram Shapiro invited me amongst a number of other rabbis to be present, and when the meeting was coming to a conclusion, I asked, can I say a few words? And I told the Prime Minister this medrash. You're going off on an extremely important mission, you have to know this medrash. I explained to him what's the significance of this medrash. The medrash is awesome. You know what the medrash is saying? We always think that the judgment of history is going to come. What will our grandchildren say about what we did today? I have time. My grandchildren, great-grandchildren. History will judge. By that time they will have forgotten anyway. You know what Yirmiyahu understands? The judgment of history is now. And you know who's judging us? 3,500 years of Jews starting from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The judgment of history is instantaneous. We're being asked right now, what did we do for Eretz Yisrael? What did we do for Maros HaMakpelah? What did we do for Kever Rachel? We don't have the luxury of, well, you know, we'll worry about history later. History by Kaisler is now. Yirmiyahu is terrified that they're going to turn to him and they're going to say to him, Biyomecha hayta lebaneinu zot. Another four words. We started with Kach onin et hamu'ukot. This is how you answer a woman who is in pain. And we end with Biyomecha hayta Lebanenu Zot, which of course places upon us a completely different responsibility. I remember that period of time when it was a question whether Kever Rachel would remain within under Israeli sovereignty or not. I said then once, can you imagine? One mama can provide for 10 million Jews, and 10 million Jews have a heck of a lot of difficulty providing for one mama. That's a tragedy sometimes. A mama will take care of 10 children, and never the mama gets out and that can't, you understand? This one can't, and that one can't, and the next one can't. Thank God that there are a few people who were concerned enough to worry about Mama Rachel, you understand? From Menachem Parish's tears to Evelyn Hayes making the whole world crazy about Kever Rachel. And Chaim Silverstein and all of those around. That day of the Churban, the only one who knows how the day is going to end is Yaakov Avinu. He knows that even on this terrible day, any moment now, Rachel is going to stand up before God and she's going to say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I refuse to be consoled, Havli Banim, give me children, V'yam Ayin Meisan Ofi. And God, you can't say what Yaakov said to me. What did Yaakov say? Am I in place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? You are God! You have no choice. And he indeed tells her, V'shavu mi'edetz oyev, V'shavu banum v'tulam. And as I say, that's the great bracha. That promise of God has been fulfilled in our days in a way that we would never imagine possible. So we have to know. Yirmiyahu says something in the name of God, you can bet on it. Let's hope in Yetz Hashem that we will be zeichet to see many, many more Jews being shavu banim l'gvulam. And Rachel Imenu, I'm sure, is looking down and seeing what these guys are doing here, and these Amuna women who are coming here at Tisha B'Av to Kever Rachel. It's very inspiring, and it's yes, I'm sure that we will say a few Kapit of Tilim over here. It's going to shake the very foundations of heaven. Thank you.